Hello and welcome to 5 at 8. I'm Mark Overman, and joining me today is Linda Carlisle. It's Tuesday, April 9th, 2024, and we have some great stories for you. In this episode, we'll talk about how J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon believes artificial intelligence could transform workplaces and impact global business, the economy, and society. We'll also discuss China's property market crisis, Russia blaming Ukraine for drone strikes on a nuclear plant, U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen's concerns about China's manufacturing sectors, and the U.S. government's plan to invest $6.6 billion in Taiwan's semiconductor manufacturing company. Story number one. In a report from CNN, J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon believes that artificial intelligence has the potential to significantly impact global business, the economy, and society. He stated that AI could transform workplaces and augment virtually every job. The bank is investing in AI technology and cybersecurity to adapt to these changes. Dimon also warned about potential inflationary risks and geopolitical challenges facing the U.S. Tell me, Linda, isn't it remarkable how AI is shaping the future of work, as Dimon stated? It's like the arrival of the printing press or the internet all over again. I believe this technological revolution will lead to innovation and economic growth, just like in the past.
Well, Mark, I do agree that AI has the potential to transform our world, much like the printing press or the internet did. However, I'd like to point out that such transformations also bring about their own set of challenges. For instance, the IMF suggests 40% of global employment could be disrupted by AI. That's not a small number.
True, Linda, but job disruption doesn't necessarily mean job loss. As Dimon mentioned, AI might reduce certain job roles, but it could also create new ones. It's all part of the evolution of work. And let's not forget, J.P. Morgan now employs over 2,000 AI and machine learning experts. That's job creation right there.
That's a fair point, Mark. But let's not downplay the risks associated with this AI boom. Dimon himself highlights the increasing cybersecurity threats faced by companies due to malicious use of AI. And these threats are not just to businesses, but to our personal data and privacy as well.
Cybersecurity is a real concern, but that's why businesses like J.P. Morgan are investing heavily in technology and hiring thousands of technologists to fortify their defense against cybercrimes. I think it's more of an opportunity for growth and innovation in cybersecurity, rather than a drawback of AI.
Interesting perspective, Mark. But let's not forget the broader picture. Dimon warns of a treacherous geopolitical era ahead. How does AI fit into this complicated global narrative? And how will it impact economic indicators such as inflation and interest rates? There are many unknowns and potential risks we cannot ignore.
I agree, Linda. There are many unknowns. But just like the printing press or the internet, we'll navigate through, adapt, and hopefully thrive. AI is not a threat, but a tool. It's how we use it that will determine our future. Story number two. In a report from BBC, China's property market faces more trouble as Shimao Group, a major developer, is hit with a winding up petition by China Construction Bank, Asia, over unpaid loans. This legal action is rare for Chinese banks. Shimao, like other developers, has defaulted on offshore bonds. The industry has been struggling since the government imposed borrowing limits. This crisis has a significant impact on China's economy. Have you seen this, Linda? Shimao Group, one of China's top real estate developers, has been hit with a winding up petition from the state-owned China Construction Bank. This is quite unprecedented. Usually, it's the overseas-based creditors that take such actions. It seems like the bubble is finally bursting in the Chinese property market.
Yes, it's a concerning situation. And it's not just Shimao Group. Similar cases are popping up across the sector. This could potentially have a significant impact on China's economy, given that the property sector accounts for about a third of it. It's reminiscent of the 2007 to 2008 U.S. property market crash.
And, you know what they say, when China sneezes, the world catches a cold. If this crisis deepens, it could have ripple effects in global financial markets. Like, remember how the U.S. property market crash led to a global economic recession?
Yes, indeed. It's a complex problem, Mark. On one hand, Chinese government introduced measures to curb the amount big developers could borrow, which is a sound policy in theory. But on the other hand, these regulations seem to have pushed the property sector into a financial squeeze. It's a bit of a tightrope walk.
Yes, Linda. This situation also raises questions about China's economic model. It seems like there's an over-reliance on property sector borrowing and investment. Maybe it's time to think about alternative, more sustainable growth models, you know?
That's a thoughtful point, Mark. A shift towards more sustainable growth models may indeed be the way forward. But for now, the evolving role of Chinese banks in this crisis and their uncharacteristic legal actions against defaulting companies like Shimao Group is something to keep a close eye on. It's a clear signal that the crisis is deepening.
Story number three. According to the Washington Post, Russia blamed Ukraine for drone strikes on the Zaporizhia nuclear plant, leading to a criminal investigation. Ukraine denied responsibility and accused Russia of past false flag attacks. The IAEA confirmed the physical impact of the drone strikes, but stated nuclear safety was not compromised. Both countries are at odds over the incident, with Russia calling it an act of nuclear terrorism by Ukraine. The plant's containment structures sustained direct hits, raising concerns about potential radioactive disasters. Who would have thought we'd see such a horrifying turn of events in our lifetime, Linda? The attack on the Zaporizhia nuclear plant in Ukraine is truly alarming. It's a stark reminder of the perils and potential catastrophe of warfare near nuclear facilities. It's like playing with fire, and the implications are just devastating.
It's not just about the immediate threat to human life and the environment, but also the long-term impact. It brings to mind the tragic events of Hiroshima and Nagasaki during World War II, an echo from the past that was, I think we all hoped, never to be repeated.
The seriousness of this issue cannot be overstated. What's more concerning is the accusations of false flag attacks. Ukraine denies responsibility and accuses Russia of mounting false flag attacks on the plant in the past. This adds another layer of complexity to an already convoluted conflict.
These so-called false flag attacks can be a strategic move in warfare, but they also further muddy the waters of truth and accountability. And speaking of accountability, Russia's investigative committee has announced an investigation into the strikes on the plant. But in such a volatile and politically charged situation, how impartial can any investigation be?
That's a valid point, Linda. It's crucial for the international community to play a role in such investigations. The International Atomic Energy Agency's report confirmed the physical impact of drone attacks on the plant, but stated that nuclear safety had not been compromised. This is a relief, but the risk remains, and we must ensure that it doesn't escalate further.
Yes, Mark. The role of organizations like the IAEA is critical in such situations. They help to maintain a level of objectivity and can provide vital information to the international community. But as we've seen in the past, these incidents can have far-reaching effects, not just on the countries directly involved, but on global security and stability as well.
Couldn't agree more, Linda. It underscores the need for diplomacy and negotiation instead of resorting to violent conflicts, especially in sensitive regions. It's a grim reminder of the Pandora's box that opens up when military action spirals out of control. Story number four. In a report from Washington Post, U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen expressed concerns about China's expanding manufacturing sectors during her visit to Beijing. She warned against the negative impact of Chinese exports flooding global markets. Yellen emphasized the need for balanced trade and domestic consumption. China agreed to talks to address trade imbalances. Discussions also touched on China's support for Russia's military sector. Despite positive interactions, tensions remain over trade issues. Where Yellen's stance really stands out to me is her clear statement that the U.S. won't accept a repeat of the China shock that hammered American manufacturing in the 2000s. It's a serious concern, as China's manufacturing surge, particularly in green technologies and steel, could significantly impact global competitors.
Yes, I see where you're coming from, Mark. But what we need to consider here is the balance. Should China curb its manufacturing and potentially slow its economy? Or should other nations find ways to compete more effectively with Chinese industries?
Well, Linda, that's a tough question. On one hand, we have the free market system, which I'm a huge fan of, but we can't ignore the fact that artificially cheap Chinese products flooding the market could threaten the survival of foreign firms. It's sort of a tightrope walk.
And let's not forget the environmental aspect. China's focus on expanding sectors like solar, electric vehicles, and lithium-ion batteries is crucial for global green transition. So it's not just about trade and economy, it's about the planet too.
Oh, absolutely, Linda. No denying that. But we also have to consider the other side of the coin, right? I mean, we have to question whether or not this is just a strategic move by China to assert its dominance in these vital sectors. And there's also the question of fair competition, which Chinese Premier Li Qiang emphasized.
It's a complex issue with no easy solutions. It's fascinating to see how Yellen is navigating these delicate waters. And the chopstick diplomacy aspect is a reminder that these high-stakes negotiations are also about building relationships and understanding cultures.
Story number five. CNN reports that the U.S. government plans to give $6.6 billion to Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company to build three factories in Arizona, part of efforts to secure the supply of advanced chips. This investment will create high-wage tech jobs and strengthen the domestic supply chain for semiconductor chips. Could this be the turning point we've been waiting for, Linda? I mean, this $6.6 billion government deal with TSMC is a bold move to revive America's chip manufacturing industry and counter our over-reliance on foreign suppliers. We've seen how disruptive supply chain bottlenecks can be during the pandemic. This strategic investment not only boosts our domestic capabilities, but also creates thousands of high-wage tech and indirect jobs.
Well, Mark, it's not that simple. While I agree it's important to secure our supply chains, I worry that this may escalate trade tensions, particularly with China. And let's not forget, throwing money at the problem doesn't necessarily solve it. We need a comprehensive strategy that includes investing in R&D, nurturing talent, and fostering collaboration with our global partners.
I see your point, Linda. But isn't self-reliance crucial, especially given the geopolitical tensions? And it's not just about pouring money. It's also about reviving an industry we once dominated. This move by President Biden is about ensuring our national security and our economic stability. It's about, you know, taking back control.
Mark, I understand the need for control and security. I really do. But we live in an interconnected world. Isolating ourselves won't necessarily protect us from supply disruptions or other vulnerabilities. In fact, it could make us even more vulnerable, particularly if it leads to retaliatory actions from other nations. We need to balance our domestic interests with our global responsibilities.
I hear you, Linda, but sometimes you need to make bold moves to protect your interests. Let's just see how this plays out. One thing's for sure. It's going to be an interesting ride.
Indeed it will, Mark. And let's not forget, the ultimate goal should always be to serve the best interests of the people, whether that's through domestic production, global partnerships, or a combination of both.
That's it for this morning. Have a great day and see you all tomorrow.
5 at 8 is researched, written, and performed by artificial intelligence. For more information, visit botcaster.ai.